What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Stream Team. It's your host, Keith Evans. With me, as always, Chris Lowry and Cole Miller. Today, we're going to 98, Enemy of the State, a movie that is exceedingly frustrating. And we'll get into why I think is the case. It's a really, really good one. Another Tony Scott. We're following up Tony Scott with Tony Scott,
you know, Man on Fire.
Yeah, now we're going early Tony Scott, 98, so he wasn't into the psychedelic shots yet, but he still had an opportunity to do
There were a couple. Tony Scott shots in this.
They were more warranted in this one, as there was a lot of surveillance shots and different things, and we'll get into that as we talk about the technical aspect of it. And while it was technical, it was also shot from, you know, that eagle eye point of view, the big brother point of view, however you want to call it. But again, we'll get into that. So 98, Tony Scott movie, runtime of 2 hours, 12 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes score, 71-78. Just hypothetically, let me ask you guys this. Do we think the score is that low? So first, I have my theories. Do we think it's that low because the movie didn't land the plane? To me, it didn't quite land the plane. How do y'all feel about the ending?
I agree with that. I feel like there are times in the movie where it drags a little bit. I know that's weird to say because there's always something happening.
Right.
But at certain points, and this, I don't want to say it's a common thing for Tony Scott, but the ones that aren't masterpieces are sometimes have that same issue where he doesn't quite land what he's trying to do necessarily. And at certain points, like some of the extracurricular stuff is a bit, I would say draggy. I like all that stuff, but I could see where in the grand scheme of a movie, you know, a casual viewer or a critic would hold that against it, I guess.
So you think if this was like an hour 55, you think that score would be higher on both sides? Or you think the ending itself?
I think, yeah, so
couple things.
The ending was, yeah, I think exactly. I think you could, there's some way to potentially put Gene Hackman in a little bit more.
Okay.
And then could you also make the ending a little bit clearer and cleaner as to what exactly happened?
Yeah. They were just a giant shootout, and then that was it. And then Robert was like,
he just went home.
Yeah. I don't know, 16 people killed and like no remorse.
Right.
There was no sorry that happened to you. We realized that, you know, he dropped that in your bag and you got mixed up. There was none of that. It was just the shootout. And then he was like just at home watching, you know, the game show network and shit. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the weird thing. It was real odd because obviously of course, you have Sizemore character. He wanted the video that he was shown originally by Robert Clayton at the beginning. And then of course we have John Boyd's character as Thomas Reynolds, who wanted the video of the murder of Phil Hammersley. So there's videos that need to be, there's something that needs to be obtained by somebody to clear Robert's name, right? Like with his firm and then all of the media and all that, but there's also nobody left alive to clear his name as far as like the smear campaign that happened to him after we found out that he may or may not have had the tape that his buddy had. And so the ending is really vague. And I'm just like, okay, what exactly happened? So that's where I kind of fell. Cause I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I do love a good shootout at any point in the movie, but literally anybody that could have cleared Robert's name was killed in that room dead.
So, absolutely.
And like all the other agents that were like in the offices and in the van, like we don't know if someone was like, hey, they kind of fucked up, leave him alone. You know what I mean? There's still all those other people who were ultimately on his tail, on his trail, who were keeping an eye on. I guess maybe it's supposed to be they're still watching him, but it's just, it's like you guys are saying, there's just not a lot of resolve to really any of that. Like a bunch of people die in a room and it's like, all right, his problems are over. I'm like, I don't think they are.
If anything, they're worse.
No one's asking questions while that man was there.
Yeah.
You know?
Doesn't it make him seem worse?
Yeah.
Right. If anything, with nobody left besides himself to try to clear his name, it makes him look way worse. It makes him look way shadier. I mean, even Rachel's dead, you know, so even she can't be like, hey, here's what happened. But anyway, so that was kind of my thing.
It just wasn't clean enough.
Yeah. It wasn't. So that's when I saw the score, I wasn't overly surprised by. While I clearly I enjoy the movie, I picked it, but it's still, I just felt, I'm like, man, just give me a little more, like cut, like you're saying, Cole, cut into some of the movie, or maybe leave it the maybe leave the length somewhere
Need you to
around
trim
this.
the fat around here.
What do you mean trim the fat? I need you to fire the fat people.
Want you to fire the fat people.
But yeah, just
They
give me a
move
little bit more
slow and they
clarity
make
at
me
the
sad
end.
to look at.
Start with large Marge. Marge's not fat, she's pregnant. I'm sorry, Marge.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. But all that to say, with that score being what it was on the critic and the user side, this movie had a $90 million budget, still did $250 million in
Yeah.
1998. So
Tough to
The
dunk it
Scott
in too
effect.
hard, I guess.
So people went and saw it. I mean, but at this point, so I will credit it to a couple things. Yes, it is a good movie. Can it be improved upon? Of course it can. But overall, was I entertained? Absolutely. Like, it's some good stuff, and
Yeah, a lot
it
of
gives
really
us
good stuff in this.
a lot of really good stuff. A scary look into the NSA, who refused to cooperate with this movie, by the way. Like, they wouldn't allow it to
Yeah.
be. Yeah. So then
And
it's
I was
just like.
about to say that it felt like Tony Scott was trying to tell a message more
Correct.
so than end a movie at the end there. It was like, okay, he's trying to send a message that this shit is sketchy and way ahead of its time, and he's
Wait.
100% correct. Now it's like we're in a situation where it's like, oh fuck, they monitor all this stuff all the time, blah blah blah,
All
and
the
it
time.
is it's quite wild. Yeah.
And we saw a little bit of with some movies around this time. Obviously, there's movies that have been like this, Conspiracy Theory, Mel Gibson movie, amongst others. There's several that we can talk about that do have this kind of message, or even with Seven, where Morgan Freeman went to talk to Brad Pitt's character about like certain words that get flagged when people rent books and or go to libraries and look up certain things. So if a certain amount of books are looked up, that people get added to a certain list, right? So then that's how they can find Kevin Spacey's character. So some of the stuff has been hinted at, but this is a full on, like you said, Cole, a message about what the government either was doing or is sh go running very quickly towards doing. And like you said, now there's a lot of things that are very commonplace when it comes to surveillance and facial recognition. I mean, a lot of the technology that we use now
Yeah, this
for, I
was
mean,
before the
our,
Patriot Act, right? Like this
yes, it
was
was.
3 years before. And basically just gave free rein to
Free
do all
reign.
this sort of stuff. Yeah. It's wild.
It's
That's a
called
Diesel Award winner again, just so y'all know.
the Freedom of Information Act. Looks like the hippies got something right.
If he's got something right.
it is a very interesting, almost an expose type. This is almost like a 60-minute piece, but it has a very handsome lead, and
Sure does too.
And has an
Yeah.
actor in Gene Hackman that is just absolutely incredible in this. I do wish, when it comes to actors like Gene Hackman or James Caan or Robert Duvall, actors like that, I wish that they're just a period. When people say like, "I was born in the wrong period," women say that because they want to dress up in like, whatever high heels and dresses and go line dancing or whatever it is, like all that kind of cutesy stuff, but they can't vote. Or they can't drive cars or anything like that. Like, no, I was definitely born in the correct period, but there's an era of actors that I do, Robert Redford, I mean, amongst others, Sidney Poitier, other guys. I wish that I just was a little bit older to be able to appreciate. And Gene Hackman absolutely falls on that list. He's somebody that I saw just in a handful of movies, but he was already kind of, I won't say in the twilight of his career. I mean, he was older, but just seeing some of the stuff when he was younger, maybe be able to appreciate him more. But he was awesome in this, as he
Yeah,
has been in other
always.
movies. But to talk about, so we'll talk, we'll lean into Will Smith, all right? And at this point in his career, we talked about it a little bit whenever we had him for Bad Boys in 95. But at this point in his career, so like I said, this is 98. Okay, so I'm just going to go to 01 because I just don't have the kind of time. Well, this would just turn into a 2-hour pod of me naming off his accolade from when he started
Yeah.
acting to most recent stuff. But 95. All right. So Bad Boys 95, Fresh Prince was 90 to 96, Independence Day 96, Men in Black 97, The Getting Jiggy with It videos 98, Enemy of the State's 98, Wild Wild West 99. We know how much of a flop that was, but it was still a big deal.
Still
Bagger
made a
Vance
lot of money.
2000. Yeah. Bagger Vance is 2000, Ali 01. That's 95 to 2001.
Yikes.
Run in there, Giselle.
Yikes.
Like there's like a stinker too in there, but at the same time, it's like it's a stinker with a lot of relevance and a lot of money. So
Right.
it's just
Yeah. Is it a
not a
stinker if,
bad stinker.
right. Is it a stinker if it still makes a lot of money? Like, does it still
Yeah.
count as that?
If you can still
Maybe
bob
not.
dinosaur eggs, who cares, you know?
Yeah. Rich.
He can still, he can buy dinosaur eggs and space heaters, right? So he's still
Yep.
good. So
He can do whatever the fuck he wants, man.
he is set up. But let's just talk about Will Smith, Chris, at this juncture in his career. I know we touched on this on the Bad Boys pod, but I'd love to revisit it because it is still very relevant in regards to where he was in his career and just how important of a role this was, because at this point we really hadn't had a lot of serious things. Of course, we had Bad Boys 95, but he was still Will Smith, Fresh Prince. You know, like I said, Independence Day is 96, Men in Black's 97, but there was still a comedic aspect to those as well. So we have a very serious role in Robert Clayton Dean, and you know, he's a lawyer and he's doing all these backdoor
Man,
deals. And
meant to be a lawyer. Like,
oof.
meant to
Yeah.
be a lawyer. Why is
Oof.
he so fucking good at this? And then why don't we
Buddy.
get more Will Smith lawyer movies, man? Fuck. Could you
Whenever
see him
he's
like in a Lincoln Lawyer type movie? Be so goddamn
dude.
good, dude.
And Chris, I'll throw this to you real quick. But that scene, whenever he's getting questioned by his boss and the other guy, and he's like, "Hey, do you beat off in the shower? Do you have homosexual thoughts?" And the guy's like,
Yeah.
"Well, that's none of my fucking business, dude." I
Yeah.
was just like, wait a second. Wait a second, Will Smith. But Chris, just talk about him at this juncture in his career, man, and just how good he was in this movie. And of course, going forward with what would be just an insane A plus 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 type career.
I mean, he was phenomenal in this, and this is one of those that you need because, like you said, he had some bigger stuff, some stuff that was maybe a step away from purely comedic, but it was still, like in Bad Boys, where he's still playing a relatively, charismatic, funny character. And let's just say he can never turn those two things off because he's Will Smith. I mean, he could be in a movie as a murderer, and you're just like, yeah, he'd probably get me. He probably tricked me into thinking he was cool. So he
Right.
can't turn off the charm and the funny. So there's no, you got to take a role, you get rid of all of that. But it's just like he's doing that and he's doing Independence Day, which, while it's a bit more of a serious movie, it leans to action. And that, to some people, is not serious in the same way that a drama thriller type thing like this is. And I think
And he
it
was
just
still the
works.
comedic relief, though. Like, he had the funny lines.
Right.
He had the welcome to Earth line where he punches the alien. He had the, you know, the fat lady ain't seen yet, or all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, so even though he's had those kind of departures in a way from the freshman, he still hadn't had that role that was just like, oh, this guy can be a serious actor, if he wants to. Even I would think, like, even if this wasn't as successful, and I know we were talking about the scores, but wasn't as revered as it was, I think it would still be a good thing to have happened to him because it's showing that he would take a role like this. He would take a role to do the drama thriller and act across Gene Hackman, act in scenes with John Boy, to be in a movie with so many other people. And like, this is just, there's nothing else to say other than like, he was phenomenal. And this is just what he needed in his career at this point. It's like he could have maybe waited out a couple more years. I'm sure there are some other things that he, maybe turned down later than some other things that he did go on to do. But I think so early on, like in the middle of this first run, to just kind of mix it up and put something super serious in there to just kind of show like, hey, I can take on these roles, I can act across them. Even if I'm getting out acted by some of these people in a couple scenes, it's just like I can hold my own, for the rest of the movie. I can still have, the scene we're talking about, the scene where he's arguing with his boss, is like he's good in that. He's good in that scene. He's
So
playing
good.
that, like it can make you laugh, but he's not playing it to be strictly comedic, right? It's just funny because like that's just a funny thing to say. But we know people get heated and get into arguments and say shit like that, and they're being dead serious. And it's like, obviously, in the context of real life, if they're yelling at you, you maybe wouldn't laugh. But if you're just watching surveillance or something like that, or you're hearing about this, you would laugh. You know what I mean? So it's just, he does have a couple of moments like that in this movie. But again, it's just because he's Will Smith. He's always going to have that funniness. He's always going to have that charm. But he does kind of, the closest he can do to turning it off and being super serious throughout this. And I think he just does a great job. You know what I mean? I don't know if he hadn't taken this then, if maybe he doesn't get some of the more serious roles that he takes later in the career, in his career, I think he probably still gets to those. I mean, even if he skips this, maybe he does another one, a couple years down the line. But it's like, but this was, I think, a really, really nice departure to it. And again, it's a drama thrill. Like that's the one that, we were talking about it with the last two pods. There's something about these movies that feel like peak movie making. You know what I mean? Like there are tons of other drama genres that have great films and like, but this is the one that you can always just reel people in. You know, there's like some of the other genres that people may not like, some things that people are just like, oh, I'm not really a fan of this one, or I'm a big fan of this, but this one right here, it's like if you get the right actors, you get the right premise, anybody will watch one of these. Like this is like peak trying something serious, being for real in a movie, and he crushed it.
He really does, and it's well documented that he does. He made a very concerted effort with his agents and we're just in his career in general to just be in just mega blockbuster movies every year, every summer. He was, you know, and as we could see with his credits, like I said, Bad Boys, Independence Day, Men in Black, Enemy of the State, Wild Wild West, like all these movies every
It's
single
almost a
summer. He
Steve
was,
McQueen model, right?
oh, dude, he was
Like, just
crushing.
find big major fucking films and just be a movie star. Like,
Well,
he's a good actor. I don't want to take that away from him because he is
yeah.
obviously a very, very good actor. But you're right. Like, he just found the biggest movies he could be in, like Independence Day, like this, and then would go on to be Ali. Like, you know, that's about as big as your career can get.
That's so big, but what's crazy is like, yeah, I feel like every actor has been like this. Like, yeah, I do want all my movies to be home runs, but then they don't end up being home runs because it's just hard to make. Like, it's hard to be in a good movie, let alone a series of good movies,
Absolutely.
whatever it may be. And so for him to be, even just from 95 to 01, to have that run of, like, he could have retired on that run of movies alone, you know, like, and been set for a long time. So it is a credit to his ability and just his ability to look at a script, look at a movie, a director, whoever it is, and say, yeah, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be good. And whether he's looked at it and say, yeah, this script is good, let's go do it, or it's like, well, I'm going to be in it, so I'm going to make this movie good. Either way, he was right, you know. So
Yeah.
it's just interesting to for him to be able to pick a winner every single time. It's like, man, look, you know, pick my lottery numbers, like pick my winning horse next time. Like let's do, you know, Will Smith, I want you to do these things for me, because clearly he had the Midas touch whenever it came to that stuff. But couple different very, very important pieces in this movie. I think to me, the most, it's tough to say most important piece, but one of the most important pieces is the strong female lead. And I don't know that the female lead gets any stronger than Regina King, somebody we've had in The Harder They Fall, probably did not that long ago. But Cole, talk about her as the wife and just how strong she had to be and believable as Carla, but also, you know, stand toe to toe Will scenes and wash him in a couple of scenes.
Yeah, you kind of have to find somebody like that, right? That just has that gravity, in order to just command the screen, because she does, right? It doesn't matter what she's in, she's always gonna grab the entirety of the movie for whatever it is, 3 minutes, right? This is a good role for her because it is, in a lot of ways, it's not exactly who I would expect Will Smith to marry. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in like a pleasantly surprised way. Like, she's got that, the character you would expect. This hotshot attorney would come home to this trophy wife type person. And not that she isn't beautiful,
Yeah,
but
but I'm
she
with you. Yeah.
kind of puts his ass in his place, right? Like, multiple times throughout this movie. And she's very strong-willed, and she's like, you know, got that comedic timing down as well, right? When she's talking about all of the, you know, them watching us, and this motherfucker, and all this stuff that she kept bringing up and talking about on the TV and stuff like that. It's just, there aren't a lot of people that can just make that work quite like she does. And it doesn't really matter what movie we've done or she's been in, she always just steals the fucking scene. Like, it just never matters who's in it. Like, Idris Elba's in a scene with her, nope, I'll take it from here.
I'll run
And
it.
Will Smith's in a scene with her, oh well, sorry, I'm gonna go
Yeah.
on a rant about government overreach for a second.
Like that was her platform for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like she's watching CNN from the jump. Like Will Smith had barely made it in from the lingerie store, and she's just going in on how bad that this is, man. And she's just crushing, like, you know, the son was like, "Mom's yelling at the TV," like thinking, you know, maybe she's in there watching Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy or something. Yeah, she's in there watching CNN and
Now
about
she's
how
like
bad of an
ready
idea.
to put hands on Wolf Blitzer, you know?
Oh, dude, real fast. But that's like you said, but that's part of the message that Tony is trying to and delivering when it comes to this movie, because this isn't like a watered down version of what he thinks is going to happen or what he sees is happening. Like, he's like, no, this is a terrible idea and the government should not be doing these things. And it just, it is very interesting from a couple of different vantage points, but it's interesting that the NSA did not cooperate whenever it came to any footage being shot or anything that would involve them actually participating in this movie. So it's like,
which basically gave him free reign to do whatever he wanted, right? Like, if they would have agreed to do it, they probably could have made the narrative a little bit cleaner about themselves.
Right. Yeah.
But instead, he just was like, okay, cool. I'll just make up what I want.
Like, I imagine he walked into the office with his lead writer or whatever, and the whoever he ended up talking to, I know it's like going to be the director of the NSA, but whoever he ended up talking to, somebody from HR or public relations or whatever, was like, "A Billy Martin, I'll pass. The last time I checked, and I check every morning, I own more valuable property in the state than anybody in history."
And I check every morning.
That means you got more to lose. No, I don't lose. People who bet against me lose, and they lose big. Just know if you come at me, I slice like a goddamn hammer.
Yeah.
But I imagine that's how the conversation went, though, right? Like, he went
had
in
to
there
be,
like,
man.
Look, this is the movie I want to do. It's about X,
and then
Y,
Tony
and
Scott
Z.
Was under surveillance for the rest of his career. He randomly heard clicking all the time.
All the time.
The Soprano showed up at his door.
All the time. His dog was spray painted green for no reason. just all kinds of random stuff. But yeah, it is very interesting from that NSA standpoint. It is something that has come to light over the past several years, obviously, when it comes to government overreach and surveillance and facial recognition and all the things we see. Now, Chris, just going back and watching this and being like, yeah, in 98, this was a big deal, but I feel like a lot of people probably felt like, yeah, we're not heading that way. Like, the government's not going to be able to do all this stuff. And then seeing where we are now, like, it's kind of eerie to see where we are now in comparison to where this movie was talking about.
Oh, easily, because it's like, the weird thing is, it's like, some of this stuff seems like too easy. Yeah, like, we're just so far ahead. It's like, oh, they don't really need to put a microchip in my shoe anymore. I carry it around with me, like, willingly all the time. Like, I'm recording on two of them right now. You know what I mean? It's like, back in the old days, I had to hit you upside the head with a rock and fucking, shove a microchip up your asshole. Now you pay $1,000 to have it yourself. So, looking back, like, it is, there's just, like, some parts of it that are just, like, they had it right, but boy, oh boy, were they making it a lot harder than it. I mean, I guess at the time, when they would do something like that, that was what would happen. People did just get their phones, their wires tapped and stuff like that. But it is just funny to look at, like, some of the links that they're going, like the two guys sitting down in front of the van. Nope, they don't need to. It's a guy 37.
Oh, no, it's a satellite. It ain't even a guy anymore.
Yeah.
Nowhere near you, by the way. The bitch is up in space.
There's no plumber's van sitting in front of the house for 3 days, right?
No.
Anytime I do have a guy, he is like 47 states away from you. He's in another time zone and shit, but he has more access than the person who's like across the hall from you in your dorm. So it's eerie, but it is kind of funny to see how, like, it's almost like watching cavemen run around. They're doing stuff. He's like, take off your shoe and he's removing the chip. I was like,
He pulls a cassette out. He's just like, oh, you got an 8-track player in your shoe.
Yeah, seriously. Like, what? I mean, what even?
Microchip out my shoe. It's like, oh, buddy, the irony for you to be at today is how to tell if there's a microchip in my shoe. I type in on my phone.
Yeah.
What would even be bugged today? Like, let's just say that, it was just as primitive as that was, like, in 98. What could we even have bugged now? Because people have, like me, 75 different pairs of shoes. Like, so what, I mean, and I know that a lot of his stuff was thrown in the bathtub, so he had to wear one pair of shoes or one suit or whatever. But, like, what would even get bugged today if we didn't carry around just a GPS in our pocket on a, almost regular basis?
Maybe your car. Trying to think outside of that. I mean, what else do you routinely have?
Yeah, somewhere in your wallet, they got cameras. Watch is the move, but I mean, hell, Chris has got one on his wrist that he gave access to everybody doing it.
Right, yeah.
He gave him permission
Yo, can
Yeah,
you be like, when you take your vitals, can we keep those free? I'm like, yeah, fucking
yeah,
sure, I guess.
sure,
Yeah, whatever.
whatever, whatever, man.
They're gonna predict your entire life.
Yo, don't go outside on July 24th, 2025, bro. I'm like, what?
Wait, what the fuck?
It's
Like,
like
why
the heat
not?
index is gonna get you,
I
just
wish you
trust
wouldn't
me.
have said an exact date. I wish you would have kept it a little more vague. Now you got me
Yeah,
freaked out.
way vague.
Now I'm gonna be worried about you on July 25th in 2025, dude.
Yeah, whenever he gets his screen report, he gets that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I
All
wish you
that
wouldn't have
information
done us like that.
every Sunday. Yeah. Do we, and Cole, we were talking about this before we started recording, though. Do we feel like the law firm in particular, I know how quickly the media jumps on stuff, so that's not really a surprise, but are you surprised at how quickly the law firm turned on Robert Clayton in regards to his relationship with Rachel and then all that was happening to him that quickly? Like, he got disavowed like Ethan Hunt, didn't he?
Yeah, it's pretty wild too. And I'm like, and they are lawyers, so you would think they know that's you can't necessarily just fire people for rumors. But apparently they didn't know that. But yeah, I mean, it was weird how quickly everybody got turned. But I mean, then all these pictures and publishings and all that sort of stuff came up so fast because of course the DA was, I mean, or I'm sorry, the FBI and everybody was kind of doing all the dirty work. So, but yeah,
Yeah, I would
you
just
would think like if your friends that you work with would, you're like, hey, this situation isn't what it looks like. Maybe listen a little,
a
like
little
I
bit of
feel
it.
like if I came to you, Keith, like 20 years ago now, and was like, the motherfuckers are chasing me, you'd probably listen to me. So.
I would,
Which
yeah.
maybe that's just because you're a G.
That
Yeah.
sounds like him. We gotta go somewhere. We gotta hurt some people. Like, whose car are we
Whose car are we
taking?
going to take?
Absolutely, but it is just weird. But I understand, like, also being in law, like, they've got to cover their asses too. So there was a small aspect of it where I was just like,
Yeah.
that just can't be right, man. It's just like, at least give them a couple of days to clear his name. But they were ready, like they were talking about Rachel, like he was banging her on his office desk, you know. I'm just like,
I
dude,
know.
that's
Yeah.
it's like, guys, give him a break. Like, give me a break. But talking about Rachel. And of course, it's Lisa Bonet, whose career has been well documented. Of course, her and her marriage and relationship with Lenny Kravitz, and having Zoe Kravitz, just all these different components of this. Having her in this Rachel role was an interesting choice, right, Chris? Because I feel like her role, even though it was big, wasn't quite that big, but it was still big, if that makes any sense.
No, yeah, it's like she was certainly important to the plot. She was like an important figure, but she didn't. It's one of those roles where it's just like you don't necessarily do anything, but things end up happening to your character that are like very,
Yes.
very important. So it feels smaller than, like you said, it's a relatively big role. I mean, she's brought up by a lot of the most important people. Hell, everybody that's of any importance like mentions her in some capacity. Like, everybody knows her, everyone
Literally.
knows of her. And it's just like, but she never does anything directly. And it's not a bad thing. Like, sometimes that's what you can just make out of a character like that. Sometimes you can have a character make them interesting by like the things that happen to them to further the plot rather than like having to actually do it. But yeah, I think that is an interesting choice. And it's like, and Lisa Bonet is, I think, an interesting person, even like a good person to have do that kind of thing. Because I mean, you do buy into it, you do care a lot about this character. Like, you do, even, knowing that she was kind of involved in, his infidelity and some of the like the darker things he had going on. Like, she's maybe not been involved in some of the best things, even outside of being the connect. Like, you still, care about the character. You still kind of gravitate towards her when she's on screen, and you develop an attachment in that small period of time, right? So you do buy her, regardless of whether they're now being important to him, even if it just is as like a connect, right, or as a person he just talks to and that he is able to maintain like a decent working relationship with. And again, it just works out so well to have somebody who is that easy to like and cling on to be in a role where it's like, you're gonna die and you're not super gonna get your hands, on the meat and potatoes of the plot and move it that way, but things are going to happen to you. And it doesn't feel like it's a real waste. Like, I don't know, this is not at all the best comparison, even in terms of like talent. But if I was thinking of something like more recent, I'd say like Florence Pugh and Oppenheimer. Like, so her
Yeah.
character, she ends up like dying, and kind of the same thing, she has an affair with Oppenheimer, and like, and she never, you know, outside of that, really gets her hands messy and really does anything in the plot. I think she dies, you know, almost around the, you know, at the same point in the movie as
The 2.5 hour
Lisa
mark.
Bonet's character,
Yeah.
right? She dies
There's still
right
3 hours
before
left. Yeah.
the, yeah. So she kind of dies at that point, and it's kind of that same thing. Like, she is, I don't want to say like a passive part of the plot, because she like is of importance to you, but it's like with things happen to her that affect the main character and affect other parts throughout the story, and like it's viable, and you really enjoy it because it is an actress that you can kind of cling on to playing a character that you would be, you know, relatively interested So I
Yeah,
think that's
it.
like, it's a big part and it's not a big part. I think that's exactly what it is. Like, we just don't ever see her like on the run or doing anything with her. But then, like, when you really think about the parts that she played, you know, getting the information, getting the tape, and all that kind of stuff, and then like what happens with her dying, what all that has to do, and like what those rumors are about, like, oh, never mind. She's this is a very different movie if she's just not, like, if nothing happens to her in this movie, nothing comes out about her in the news or dying or anything. Like,
Yeah.
so many things in this movie are just completely. He maybe has an easier weekend if he doesn't know her.
Oh, he's way better off if he doesn't know her. Yeah.
Yeah, he it just so many complex things like the affair and then all the information that he's getting from her. It's just like one thing after the other, and it's just like, oh, it's all compiled to be like the worst possible thing for him. You know, it's quite literally like the worst combination of things that could make it bad for him, because of course his wife knows about her, and that's where he's getting his information, and he's given her, you know, like making these large withdrawals of money, and she's taking, you know, depositing so much of it, and these pictures are coming out in like real time and all this other stuff. So the only thing I will say, I mean, even though his wife was upset about it, I will say that she was about the only person who did give him the benefit of the doubt, and that did help him keep his sanity. But again, it goes back to her being a strong character and somebody that he needed to help him not just jump off a
She was a
bridge at that
skeptic
point.
herself, right?
Yeah, for sure. Which she should have been, because like Rachel being involved, like she's concerned more about that than she is more so anything else. But you know,
Yeah.
the car, credit card is not working, and all of a sudden, all these things aren't going the way that they should be. Like she has to figure out what exactly is going on. So anyway, but I did want to talk about Gene Hackman, because he is somebody at this point was is well established as a great actor, and somebody that we, you know, I didn't have a lot of experience with him. And yeah, now I'm talking about him like he's. Anyway, so not a lot of experience in movies with them, and I wish I had. But Cole, you know, talk about the Gene Hackman piece and just in general in his career, then of course the importance of his role as we talk about this movie.
Sure. Yeah. Gene Hackman, he's one of those guys that was incendiary around this time, right? Like he was a huge, huge star. Kind of had one of those De Niro, Pacino type careers. Unforgiven being the, you know, kind of huge, huge part that was very, very small. This part of his career, he kind of started doing a little bit more of like character actor stuff, but he was still Gene Hackman. So like people still went to see his movies. He was never afraid to do like be second billed, you know, like do a movie with Will Smith where he isn't the main star. Like he stopped being worried about that sort of thing. And after that, just put in performance after performance after performance, because he's got, you know, he's got the acting chops to, you know, stand up against anybody, including Will Smith or, you know, Clint Eastwood or whoever it is that you put him in a movie with. He's just got that kind of skill set. And I think for this role, it's kind of weird. Part of my trivia was that it was 55 minutes into the movie till we saw Gene Hackman for the first time. And I just find that very, very odd that that is how Tony Scott wanted to use him. It may be just because Gene Hackman didn't want to be, you know, maybe he just wanted to film for 4 or 5 days and call it quits. Like, I don't know. But it feels like he was underutilized in this movie, just because of the interesting character, and Gene Hackman himself.
And it was, I think that it played to the mysteriousness of his role, and then just how he liked to remain low key and underground as Brill, and so he or well Edward Lyle, and so he was somebody who you know, in other movies is played out to be like a kook, right? Where he doesn't use cell phones and he doesn't believe in, you know, I don't have a TV, all I listen to is the radio and all these other things. And
script.
Yeah, I don't read the script, and I don't drop character to the DVD commentary. But he was a guy who, I mean, he did live, you know, he was off the grid, and he did live in that smaller place. He had his cats or whatever, but he wasn't out to be like Mel Gibson was a conspiracy theory, and this, you know, I brought it up again, but he was made out to be just this crazy person who was like, the government's out to get me, and all these other things, and he had all these wild, like, he had these, you know, these back channel dark web pages that he followed, and he liked, you know, he had all these guys like to chat with online, which was at that point, so I think conspiracy theory is maybe 97. So he is, you know, somebody who is, you know, the internet wasn't as popular as it is now. So somebody going online to find information it was kind of a big deal. So anyway, having that, you know, having a character like his, where he's, you know, he was a former government agent, and he was privy to some of the things that were coming, and he didn't agree with it. And that's why he has the stance he is now, I think, plays better. But him not showing up to, like you're saying, Cole, 55 minutes in also plays well, because he is helping from the back channels, and he's helping out, but he's not going to be out and be able to get, you know, his photograph taken or being getting on video or whatever else. So I think that played really well.
They positioned him as like the boogeyman.
Seriously.
like you couldn't see the bad guy or the monster till this point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, like he absolutely. Was Jaws or something.
Right. But yeah, it was what as important as these characters are, and we've talked about this several times, but it's equally as important to have a villain that is equally built, and while at this point in this movie the villain is the government, right? It's the NSA and different agencies, and of course there's a corrupt politician who is spearheading all of this, but having John Voight in that role, I don't know that there is anybody that I trust less when they show up in a movie than John Voight.
He's out there, man.
Like, he shows up, and I'm just like, and I jokingly said this before, but I haven't trusted him since he tried to take Johnny Moxon's scholarship in Varsity Blues. You know, I know about your scholarship to Brown. He's going to like take his scholarship from him. But he's just a guy, like he shows up and I'm like, at some point he's going to be bad. You know, like we had him in Heat, and I'm just, and the whole time, even though I've seen Heat, I was like, he's going to turn on him, he's or he's going to be bad.
Yeah.
He's going to turn eventually. Chris, let's talk about John Voight's role in all of this and how he orchestrated. I mean, he was using major government resources to surveil, you know, of course it's Zabbitz, and then we have him following Robert Clayton, and he has all these agents on the ground, and he's got satellites going, and Jack Black and Seth Green. Talk about John Voight's character and just how good he was at being bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's how you draw up a character like that, you know, and you do have to maybe pull a guy who already has that demeanor of like, man, I really don't trust you. I know you're just acting, but I don't trust you at all. But that's what you want to do. Like, you want to get that guy who just has that, you know, like evil, twisted, kind of slimy feel. So whether you have the history of seeing him in roles like that or not, like John Voight just carries that, you know, very well. What does that say about him? I don't know. But I mean, the way that he is kind of like manipulating things, that he also has the look of a guy who, like, if he weren't an actor, would be in Nepal, like he would be a politician. Like he said,
like, oh, absolutely.
You'll see that in the movie, like they'll try to get the person like the evil politician. It's just like they make it work because they're a good actor, but it's just like, but you're like, I don't really look at you and think politician. But John Voight, man, I mean, like the way he wears the suits, just like the way he kind of moves around, like he has the look of a guy who would be like a politician who you would get, you know, like a Huffington Post alert.
Supreme
like, he did what
Court
now?
Justice.
He did what? I'm sorry, he got caught doing what, where?
But, yeah, I mean, no, yeah,
killed a guy?
Yeah, no, absolutely, 100%. What he's like, he did.
Cardinal, what the fuck?
He got caught at a massage parlor doing what? You know, and it just like all the slimiest of headlines. How did you like John Voight in his role, Cole?
Man, I always love John Voight. It doesn't matter what it, even Anaconda. Like, it doesn't matter what he's in. He's the shit, man. But I'm with Chris, actually. Like,
Anaconda. That's the point.
Oh, 100%.
Like, in a couple, I mean, he was going for it in Anaconda. Too.
Oh, he was out of his fucking mind in that one, dude. That's rinse due. We don't even have to ever do it. Like, I know who we're 100%. Picking, because he was out of his fucking Gord. But I love John Voight, and I think Chris brought up a really good point. He has the kind of feel like he was meant to play that role, kind of like Will Smith, like as an attorney. Like, it's just like viable. Yeah. That's what Will Smith would be doing if he wasn't a movie star, you know, like he'd just be probably the best corporate attorney in the fucking world. And I can kind of feel that with John Voight. Yeah, like the kind of sleazy, you know, smooth operating, like under the radar politician that, you know, takes away all your human rights before you know it.
Yeah. It sometimes, man, it just be like that. Chris has said it many times, man, but the game is a game, unfortunately. And that's just how it goes. Like, sadly, there's no other explanation. No other real explanation towards it. But it is a worrisome movie, I'll say that. And when it comes to movies like this, like, I'm more like, when it comes to, you know, people love their spooky season and people are already in their spooky season whenever it comes to watching, you know, people are already watching their Friday the 13th or their Jason movies or whatever else, the Mike Myers.
We're gonna
and
do
all
some scary movies this year.
Y'all go ahead. I'm just not entertained by scary movies.
Yeah, they're not my thing.
They just don't do it for me. And I know
they're something. I think I've told you, they just don't work. If I see somebody in one that I've seen in something else, they just don't work on me. So, like, I have to watch horror movies of people who, like, I've just never seen in stuff. Or, like, I can't get immersed. So, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan myself.
It's got to be some pretty exceptional shit for me to, like, Get Out. Like, I'm in.
But that's not, it's more of a psychological thriller. And I was actually just about to bring that up. Yeah, like Nope and Us and all that. Those are my scary, quote unquote, scary type movies. I like a psychological thriller. Like, to me, I would, you know, watching Contagion in the beginning of 20, like in the middle of 2020.
Yeah, that's some horrific
shit of all time, dude. Yeah. Like,
Smoothie King freaking out. He was terrified.
Terrified. Yeah.
Every time anything would change, you go, you remember that scene in Contagion? I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to remember the scene in Contagion.
Yeah, I'm trying not to think about it, Chris.
You're scared me.
Can you fight Keith?
I couldn't start coughing it. I was like, that'd be the wrong time to cough.
Oh, yeah, he'd have sent your ass out. Yeah.
Oh, dude. You'd have been shoveling snow at that point in Saskatchewan. I would have set you up like in Mission Impossible. I would have
like
set
that
you up
dude in Alaska. Yeah. Pack your shit.
Yeah, you'd have been an outpost in Anchorage at that point, man. Like, I would have sent you packing. But yeah, those are the type of movies that worry me and scare me more. So having a movie like this where it does talk about, because honestly, we just don't know how much. Just the general population, not just like me, us three in general, just the general population in general is being surveilled. And so it is something that is worried. It's like, why is that, you know, what constitutes, just like Regina King was asking, what constitutes like, oh, this person needs to be surveilled because they said this or they did this or they posted this online. And so then we put them up as a person of interest and whatever else. So not knowing how much we are actually being surveilled is truly worrisome to me. So watching something like this, even in 98, of course I'm watching it now, but I'm just like, man, this is scary as hell. Like, let's put on Saw so I can calm my nerves, you know?
Yeah.
I need something to bring me down.
Light. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring me down some. So
like The Big Short,
which I actually just watched, and that was going to be my pick, but I watched it and I was like, fuck that.
I love that movie, man.
I kid you not. Whenever I was like, oh shit, dude, because I saw it on, I think it's on Netflix, and I was, oh dude, I hadn't watched this in a minute. Let me fire this up. So I watched it. I was like, oh, this could be my next pick. And you know, and Chris had just picked Heat too. So I was like, back to back movies like that. I was like, our audience is
perfect,
dude. We're gonna have to put our audience on suicide watch if we have that.
So I watched something lighter,
and,
like Enemy of the State.
Yeah, exactly.
a little family fun one.
Yeah.
Let me get Babe, Pig in the City.
Yeah, seriously. Watch something else. But
for people with a driver's license, so I feel them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I absolutely had to. But it's funny you say that, Cole, because I was like, oh, I'm 100% going to pick this. And I watched it and I was like, no, I'm not going to do this.
I can't do that right now. Yeah.
It was way too heavy. Everybody's performance was incredible, man. Like Steve Carell.
Oh, that movie great. Is the shit. It is
top tier.
Exceptional movie.
But I just can't. I can't do that to y'all. I'm sorry, anybody.
That's a nice shirt. Do they make it for men?
Do they make it for men? Anybody interested, it is on Netflix. So if you guys are listening, go ahead and go check that out. But it's not going to be my next pick because I'm just not going to do that to y'all. But yeah, watching something like this, I get more concerned than watching an actual scary movie because this is our reality. This is real life. This is this kind of thing that happens on a regular basis, and it's worrisome. Like I feel like Regina, I definitely Regina King was 1,000,000% correct in all of her concerns. So there's no reason why anybody else shouldn't be concerned. But we don't do this very much in movies, but like we've talked about the ending already. So let's redo the ending. All right. Let's us three put our heads together. How should this have ended? So we're still gonna go to Pintero's spot. Or are we gonna take that out and do something else? How is this supposed to end where the plane lands somewhat correctly?
Is there a way to do it if we still have the pin? I just don't know if there's a perfect way to do it if everyone just dies, right? Like we would need
Right.
something to, and I know there's other things they could do to maybe go about clearing his name, right? I think with everyone dead though, like it's just too suspicious, and he's just so far gone that even if they do just kind of pull the security footage from the lingerie place, like, oh, he really didn't know him. You were looking away and he snuck that in your bag. My bad. It's just like you got a congressman and like a bunch of other, NSA officials killed. It's just like,
Yeah, like
too,
people
yeah,
die, you know,
yeah.
like it's yeah.
I have a hard time believing that you're just some guy. So it's like, so maybe, I don't know. Can you still have the shootout and get like a, maybe you can, but maybe not everyone has to die. You know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing I think you got to cover. Like, do we just go ahead and remove this part of it and then build a whole new ending? Cole, what do you think?
So that's why I was asking, do we still go to Pintero's restaurant, or is there just a complete restructure with that? Like after they both get nicked, or do we just not have them both getting picked up by the NSA? Is there just some another route we can go where they can still clear their names, and then Will Smith doesn't get shot at dinner by Pintero because he forgot to take him his videotape after a week?
Yeah, it's weird because it's almost like they painted themselves into a corner, right? That they
Right.
couldn't really necessarily get out of. I don't know, like I really just need them to explain the thought process a little more. And I'm not sure you I don't I'm not sure how you do that in this movie because there's not any sort of internal dialogue or any of that sort of thing. So I don't really know how you explain the procedural stuff. Maybe you do it something like Ocean's 11 where you like do you're showing it. And then you like go back and show like the small details of how it actually unfolded and you got everybody. Maybe there's something there that could be kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe we just sneak Al Pacino in here somehow.
He walks
Maybe
in. Yeah, we have
Pintero's boss.
the cameo where they're, so they're all, so okay, we're going back to Pintero's and they're all in the kitchen and they're about to
Yeah,
escalate
all the
into
guns come out. Yeah.
because it is like it ends almost like a who's on first because Pintero's talking about one video and Reynolds is talking about another completely different video. So then as tempers start to flare and as blood pressure starts to rise, we have him come around and he's the head chef in the kitchen back there, and one of his sous cook is mad at him and he's like, listen, I got three dead bodies on
Three, I got nine
Ventura.
dead bodies in our fucking kitchen.
So I'm sorry if the goddamn chicken is overcooked.
There you go.
And then
We
at
solved
that
it.
point, yeah, everybody turns around and Will Smith is gone, and then they all are confused,
What an
and
escape.
that's whenever the government, the police come in and they all arrest everybody, and then we have a great interrogation scene. We have a usual suspects ending or something like that at the end,
Yeah,
maybe.
I love it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what it is. So yeah, I like that Al Pacino idea. He comes in, I'm sorry, look, I got three dead bodies in my
Yeah,
walk-in freezer, so I'm sorry if the goddamn
it was an Italian restaurant, so it'd have to be the noodles were past al dente.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we got to think of
If
what's
the
it, what's
noodles got a little mushy.
it. Happens.
I'm sorry if the
Yeah.
cold cuts got a
The
little overcooked. Cold
gabagool.
cuts. Please spare the cold cuts and the gabagool. That's when you're taking it too far. That's when I'm like, all right, hold on. Hold
I'm
on. Violence
sorry
is
if the
not violence in the
scallions.
way. They fuck the scallions. They're fine. You said it as a joke, but I honestly feel like maybe there is like an interrogation thing that almost works, but it's still like, but
Yeah.
you still wonder, like, but does it matter? Because, like, you know, John Boyd's character is like, he's a high-ranking official, so it's just like, it's his word against, you know, anybody except the president, and he wins, right? So it's like, so even if he
Right.
does get interrogation, like, even if he does tell the truth on, like, what happened. And obviously, I you know, if he does just kind of reveal that, you know, the guy just dropped the recording in a random person's bag, he could say all that and still kind of go, we still need to kill him anyway. And it's like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, and it's still,
Right, he's still gotta
yeah.
go. He's gotta go
That's
some
happening.
black
And so it's
site.
like,
Yeah.
yeah, so like that character is like so powerful that I think even the truth being out there, like John Boyd's character just randomly had to have like some kind of moral 180 for him to not die, and it's like that just doesn't seem possible. So it's like,
No,
yeah,
he's
Cole,
not.
you said they kind of painted themselves into a corner here with just the way that this is kind of set up, like just how grime. It's one of those like the main bad guy is just so grimy, you really can't do
Yeah.
anything but kill him or kill
I
the
guess
man in
everybody's got
jail.
to die. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like
Right.
he's just not really another way around. Like he wouldn't just be like, you're right, I was bugging for real. My bad, chief. Like, well, John
Yeah.
Boyd doesn't
That's on
like,
me. Yeah.
that's on me, big man. Like, you know what I mean? But it's like,
Is he going to do that? No, he's not, because he's going to do
no.
everything to
So
cover his ass,
it's
because
like he
that.
can tell the truth and still like hit him with the Predator missile anyway. They're like, yeah, it was a mistake, but like also fuck him.
I mean, yeah,
Okay.
when, like whenever the department heads were all called in, whenever that congressman got caught cheating, you know, I mean, they all got undressed by that one guy. He wasn't going to give himself up then. So you think he's going to give himself up at the end of this movie? Absolutely not.
No.
He's going to go out in a blaze of glory, and then Pacino's going to come in and be like, "I'm sorry that the
Again,
risotto was
yeah,
overcooked."
damn,
Yep.
why we messed up all the good foods? Can we like, can we tone it down and not leave the risotto
Yeah.
in first? The cold cuts, the gabagool, the risotto. Damn, make his
Yeah,
dog a
we would
little
fuck
young.
up the, yeah, the
Fuck up
angel
some
hair.
shrimp or something.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, he's gonna mess up, but that's gonna be the kind of thing that gets him
I'm
yelled at.
sorry that the goddamn wonton soup got overcooked.
Wonton soup
Why are you
under
making
Italian
wonton
recipe. Probably for the
soup?
best.
Yeah, but what, you shouldn't have been making that in the first place.
Same time that might hit. Maybe you go to like a specialty restaurant and have like just some random thing of a different culture altogether. It's just randomly kind of good, you know? So maybe Cole's on to
For no
something.
reason. Yeah. You gotta change it up.
Yeah, what guy's back there making this wonton soup? Because it's good as hell.
Just let him do his thing, you know? Let him cook.
Yeah. Have you been to that new burger place? They got some badass
You're gonna
tortillas, man.
love the creme brulee.
No, dude, yeah, it's top notch. You knock your fucking socks off, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I agree though. That's give me something at the end that does put a bow on this, because just a shootout in a blaze of glory, just unfortunately, as much as I do enjoy it, it didn't seem very fitting. John Boyd's character, yes, he did need to die, because he wasn't going to go back to face any consequences. He wasn't going to prison. He wasn't going, you know, to get any kind of trouble. So him and his goons had to. But as far as you know, all that happening with Pintero, like I said, Tom Sizemore was uncredited in this, and all that stuff just seemed like just a total random scene. And
Another
Robert
edition of Hollywood's Crazy.
Hollywood is crazy.
Tom Sizemore being a fucking Italian mob boss.
Yeah, right. Makes sense, doesn't it?
I got a movie for you.
Straight out of Sicily. Tom Sizemore. Did he get made? Because he's not 100% Sicilian, right? He got to have the lineage.
Ain't.
We got to take him back to the old country.
Yep.
We'll go into the categories though, man, because he's definitely not 100% Sizemore. I don't think. I mean, Sizemore might be a Sicilian name. We just don't know the background on it.
Oh,
But
his name is Tom. No, sir.
Tom, no, sir.
No disrespect, but his name is Tom. I don't think there's a chance in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta have something else.
He's got a 2006 shortstop name. Sorry.
Yeah,
Like.
no, sir. Yeah, his batting average is .287. So yeah, give me somebody else. That ain't cutting it. But as we go into the categories and my laugh out loud, there weren't, it was weird there. I felt like I would have more, a few more opportunities than we did to laugh out loud. And there were some moments that I did laugh. Like I said, whenever Will Smith is getting interrogated and he asks his boss, he's like, "Do you beat off in the shower? Do you have homosexual thoughts?" And he's like, "That's none of my fucking business." You know, like
Yeah.
that was pretty funny. I did go whenever Will is talking to Carla and he's saying that she has to get out of the house and go to her parents. And she's like, "They're not going to chase me out of my house." She's like, "I picked those drapes."
I picked those drapes. Yeah.
Of all the things to be
He said,
concerned
fuck the
about.
drape.
Yeah. Like she's concerned about picking the drapes. And he's like, "We're getting chased by the government. Please, we can get some more drapes." So that actually crushed me because she was concerned about the drapes and they're literally being chased by the government. So that made me laugh. What about you, Cole?
When Will Smith was like, "I'm a the lingerie's for me. I'm a cross dresser," like that. That's pretty solid
And that was
scene
ad
by
lib.
him. Yeah, sure was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that always gets me. He's got that thing where even in movies where they shouldn't be funny, there's something that he can just sprinkle in that's gonna make you laugh. And he has a couple of those in this, not a ton, but it's his, the facial expressions. It's the way the like dead tone when he reads that line, that sort of stuff. He's got it, man.
No, he does, man. He should pursue some acting. I don't know if he's looked into it
Yeah.
seriously though, but I think he can really make it happen. So yeah, that is a really good one though. Chris, what'd you have?
I found a couple, but they're weirdly funny. They're not really funny. So
Right.
one is when Daniel Zagreus, when he's running away, they have that like huge big chase scene that spans across a bunch of different locations, and it's just kind of crazy. And it's a entertaining chase scene to watch. And it all ends because a fucking bus just crushes him. That's kind of
Yeah,
crazy. Like,
fire truck. Yeah.
oh yeah, fire truck. That's what I was going to say. Dude, it catches me off screen,
It
like
gets
causing
him
a fart
good
so much.
too. Yeah, it
I like
does. He gets
kind of
poked.
laugh. Because it's just like, well, yeah, because it was that big scene. It was and like I said, it's a compelling scene. It's not like it's like a goofy, shitty chase. Like it's a pretty good one. Like, and the stakes are very clear. And it just ends like that. And it's just so abrupt. I mean, the second he gets on that bike and hits the road, right? It's just like, here's a fire truck to fucking smoke you. And that's just it. And then the fucking, they catch him with a satellite and they're like, subject is down and not responding. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, he is very down. Yes.
So
Yeah.
that's one. And the other one, it's just weird. Anytime Scott Conn showed up, I don't know why. Every
It
time
it's
I
so
see him,
tough.
I would just
Yes.
laugh.
It's so weird, yeah.
It's John.
Yes.
I just laugh every time. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he had on like just the most serious face. He was just being like super intense. He wasn't talking a lot. And I was like, God, I know you want to say something so like you can see like you like when you're trying not to laugh, you're trying not to say something, but you can like see it in someone's face. Every time I look at him, I'm like, he's trying not to laugh too. I don't know what's funny to him, but something about seeing him, he wants to just laugh here for no fucking reason. So that one got me. Third one. How fucked up Will Smith was about his blender, which I get, you know what I mean?
Oh,
For the time, that
absolutely.
was a pretty nice blender, you know what I mean? I don't blame him.
Oh, hell
But
yeah.
boy, he was really fucked up about that one. It's like some people meditate, some people do whatever. I blend. Like I'm just
I
imagining that as
blend.
like a hobby. Like just
Yeah.
blending. I'm gonna try some of that this weekend. Just
Listen,
blending
man,
shit
I love a smoothie,
as
you know.
practice. Right.
Yeah, all three of us have been pretty good at making those, so I get it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's kind
Makes
of
sense.
therapeutic. I won't lie. Like, it was
It
like
sure
eating
is,
something.
dude. You
Like, it was kind of nice. There were some
can
days
just
I was like,
lock in.
this is cool.
Tasty. It's good for you.
You
Yeah.
feel a little angel food, just kind of some
100%
spiritual
fresh
healing. A
fruit.
little turbinado.
Going down memory lane now.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I like the
All
ones
right,
with
so.
ice cream. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I just had this gnarly pepperoni pizza.
Nah, fuck.
All right, so Mr. Mustang, I had a couple of people actually, and we've talked about both of them. So Jason Lee is Daniel Zavitz. It's a really random role for Jason Lee, but he's somebody I know from Jay and Silent Bob. He's really funny in those, and just
My name is
Clerks
Earl.
and some of those roles. But of course, he got the murder on tape, and then he was killed very shortly thereafter. But as he's looking at the video and he's just casually like that. What's funny is he has the story on TV and but he's still not registering. And I know that he's not thinking that the murder happened out there, but he's not concerned about what's happening on TV. He's looking at his video of the ducks and all that. But then, like, whenever he sees the murder happen, he's like, "Fuck a duck!
Yeah.
Holy shit!"
Fuck a
But
duck.
he's one, and then of course Lisa Bonet is Rachel Banks is the other. I just thought
Mm-hmm.
that, I mean, she was awesome, and we got a good, I mean, the amount of volume we got for her, I thought was perfect. But she would just every role, I mean, she just commanded the screen legitimately. Like, she was just like, "Hey, I'm Lisa Bonet. I'm gonna come in and crush this scene." And Tony Scott was like, "Okay, Lisa Bonet, no problem." So those are my two. Cole, who'd you have as your Mustang?
Man, I'm going with Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, buddy, uncredited.
Yeah, he just kind of cooked, you know?
He
Like,
did. He was
I
awesome.
know it a certain skill set of being able to read lines the way he does. And throughout, like you bought that he might actually get Will Smith killed. You know what I mean? Like that there are certain times where he just kind of has that. So I'm going with Tom Sizemore.
That's a good one.
For
Absolutely.
me, the
Especially
action is the juice.
the action is the juice. That's a line that I use very frequently. I know I've already mentioned this several times, but somebody to be uncredited and still crush like that is great. So I thought he was really good. Chris, what'd you have for your Mustang?
I also went with Jason Lee. Kind of shows up in literally just that like one scene for a
Just to
span of
get
like
killed.
6 minutes here, just to get absolutely smoked. But he sells it playing like this like weaselly guy who's like on his computer capturing footage. He just kind of like lives in his apartment all day. So it's like when
Right.
he's running around really frantic like that, like he did a good job. Like he that is exactly how a guy who looks like that would react and would move around in a situation like that. So yeah, that's my missing lesson. He showed up. When I see him in other movies and he's trying to be more normal, I'm like, nah, man, this isn't for you. You must return to the way of the weasel. Be yourself. What do you mean you're the responsible parent to Alvin and the Chipmunks? Fuck that.
Absolutely
That doesn't
not.
make any sense.
Absolutely not.
Put a flannel on with a shirt that's the same color and run around a little bit. I don't want to see you be an adult. I want to see you make some
I
mistakes
gotta
in this
eat your
life.
lunch.
I'm
Yeah, I'm
gonna
not
eat your
gonna
lunch.
eat your lunch. You're having McDonald's again. I don't want to eat your lunch. I don't even want your lunch.
The egg drop soup got a little
All
overcooked.
right. I'm gonna
I'm
find that
sorry
bottle
if your
and have some
dumplings,
egg drop
yeah,
soup just for
overcooked.
you. I'm like, oh, hold on, he was right.
The egg drop soup. That shit bangs, though.
Yeah, it does. Egg drop soup fucking bangs. Really does.
Absolutely.
Applebee's has the best egg drop soup.
What?
I'm
Yeah.
just kidding.
Yeah. You know who has some banging egg drop soup? Captain D's.
Cole, I thought you were being dead serious. I
Captain
was
D's, man,
like,
I'm so not willing to try it. I'm
Yeah.
pretty open to things, man. I'm not having the Captain D's egg drop soup.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. No, sir. Right, so for the diesel, I'm not even gonna try to get funny or cute. The government, man. NSA, the government overreach, the surveillance, all the things that they were doing or just being big brother looking over everything, man. It was, well, they were just terrible. So that was my diesel, was the government. Cole, who'd you have?
Same government overreach. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
pretty
man.
easy. They took it too far, man. And
Way
this shit hit a little too close to home. And it was a little they were a little too good and a little too the details were too believable a lot during the movie. So yeah, I'm
Yeah.
with you.
Yes,
I can't
sir.
even do the Patriot Act yet because we haven't even signed it, but
Right. Yeah.
next time.
The Freedom of Information Act, the hippies get
If he's
it
got something right.
All right. All right, Chris, who's your diesel?
Yeah, same guys, it's in a surveillance state. You know, that's
Yeah, man.
just gotta got it's weird because it's like as intuitive, not intuitive, it's like in your business as they are. It's crazy how like often they kind of get stuff wrong, but it's one of those cases like you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're just looking so hard, like it's just kind of over for you. There's like a case of him, you know, not even really being the guy, but he got flagged and they saw these things are a little suspicious, and it just led to this whole, you know, giant tale of epic misfortune that led to a shootout in the back of an Italian restaurant, you know. You start big and then you end up in a small scale situation like that. But yeah, it's the surveillance state. It's just yikes.
Yep. And it led to the
hopefully that never happens, huh?
Giving overcooked.
Yeah. The edamame.
Yeah.
Scary piece of fiction there.
I'm sorry that the short ribs got a little overcooked.
See what I mean? You're taking it too far. You're saying the things that hurt. Leave the short ribs out of this. I was cool with the egg drop soup.
You know, I'm sorry that the chitlins got a little overcooked.
Overcooked.
Probably the best thing for them. Cook them out of existence.
Please.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you remember that they're there and they didn't burn. You could never forget that those things are getting cooked. They smell up your whole fucking neighborhood.
The whole block.
Man, yeah, they sure do.
Whole tri-state area is like, oh, Sydney's cooking chitlins again. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You live two cities over. What are you talking about?
All right, so for Rinse Due, Will Smith. It's Will Smith. Rinse Due. Cole, who'd you have?
I'm going to go with Gene Hackman.
Ooh, okay.
Mostly because he was out of his fucking mind, you know, like he was trying some stuff in this. There were a couple scenes where like the box thing that he built or whatever, I still don't quite understand the logic behind it, but man, he was really going at it in that scene. And then like the couple times where he was trying to like get rid of Will Smith, where he was like, fuck you, I'm out of here, like all that stuff. He had something going on, so I'm gonna go with Hackman. But Will Smith, if you're the best part of the movie, it's definitely Will Smith.
Okay, I can't argue with that. Chris, who'd you have for Rinse Due?
Oh man, we all got different ones. I went with John Voight. He just was really compelling as
It's actually a good choice. Yeah,
sleazy kind of government official, right? If you're saying he just has the look, maybe he had a bit of an advantage, and he kind of, well, I guess we said the same thing about Will Smith. And Gene Hackman kind of has a look of a guy who would be a crazy shut-in, but who also knows everything. I think all the people in this looked exactly like the person that they needed to be. But I just really like what John
Boyd. Except maybe Lisa Bonet.
Yeah, she wouldn't be in that line of work. I would have saved her from
far
it.
Too good looking to be.
I'll build houses with my bare hands to get you out of this life. Please, I beg you. You see that skyscraper over there?
Cook egg drop soup. An Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
And nothing will distract me from it. There's no amount of bodies that would, you know, cause end up overcooked. You can't kill enough people for me to fuck this up.
Yeah, man.
It's John Voight. You know, he just, you know, professional, sleazy guy. He really brought it in this role. And like I said, it was super believable as a guy who be a politician, and would not only be a politician, but be a politician that gets caught up in a little scheme like this.
A dude playing a dude disguises another dude.
Was you crying when your restaurant blew up?
Oh, man. The short ribs. I'm not trying to eat short ribs. I'm just trying to talk at you. I ain't got to cook any short ribs. I'm just trying to talk at you.
Now slide your nine.
That smelled just like Crab Rangoons for some reason.
Give me that goddamn recipe. Son of a bitch. All right. All right. Best scene. So the best scene, and I cheated on this one because I went with just several that I thought all the scenes where Will had to dial up the emotion. I think at this point in his career, like I said, he's kind of trying to rid himself. I won't say the stench of Will Smith and Fresh Prince, because obviously that propelled him into the career that he has today. But it was a case where he still was kind of comedic relief for some movies, where we, like I said, with the Bad Boys and Men in Black. And I know Independence Day was more serious, but he was still had the comedy aspect of it. So where he had to really dial up the emotionality, where is it? I thought that he was really awesome in that. I do just love scenes, where, especially early in his career, where he had to really dig deep and find kind of a different gear when it came to that. And so, and he didn't do it a ton, but man, when he had to do it in this movie, he really just he hit every single time. So my best scenes were basically just any scenes where he had to dial up the emotion. Cole, what'd you have?
Actually, it's pretty funny, Keith. I'm pretty similar to that. When he was getting fired. That scene, man, he was so good in that. Like he
was so good.
He overdid it, but he didn't overdo it, right? Like he went crazy in that scene, but it felt authentic. It felt like something, like an actual reaction that you would have, right? Yeah, I thought, like, he, as an attorney, all that stuff is really good. He's a smooth operator, like he's got it going on. So, I went with something similar.
Nice. Heck yeah. Let's go. Chris, what'd you have for best scene?
Chris
This
likes
one's going
when
to
John
be.
Voight killed that guy at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like you just get to jump on an old, another old man, get to jump on another one. You can't beat that, you know? Like boxing in its purest form. No, I went with, even though we've had some issues with this scene, I went with the shootout at the end because it's weird because like there's so much stuff that happens that you do almost forget about the whole mob tape situation. So when it all circles back around, you know, you of course know what's going on. You see how that's going to play out. And I think that scene is like, it's this perfect way to show that a character as smart as his and who has all these things going on, he would just be able to loop them all together to get him out of a situation like this. And you just mentioned it, Cole. He's just such a smooth operator that he is balancing both of those situations and both of those people with their entirely different things. Like he's only talking when necessary and saying things that are direct but vague to continue to kind of fuel the fires on both ends and keep those guys at odds with each other. When you, I think it'd be so easy to you say something or you kind of bait one of them into saying something that kind of lets them know, oh, we're talking about two different things. He's trying to trick both of us. But that scene is like so well done. And not just from his perspective, I know the writing had to go into it as well to kind of keep everything lined up where again it's direct, but it's super vague that the wires, you know, don't cross until the guns start firing and you kind of realize or they realize that he's not taking people exactly where they need to go. And again, I think it's one of those where like it maybe has some detrimental effects to how the movie ultimately wraps up. But like the tension for a movie that is about the surveillance state and you know you're always super tense, there's just something about that scene that's like a high, it's like a tight wire act, you know what I mean? It's like you are really just watching him walk the line and see like can he pull it off? Can he, you know, keep them just kind of egging each other on without ultimately revealing that we are not the three of us are all, you know, having three different conversations. I'm just kind of making it seem like we're all just having one. We're all at odds with each other, which I guess he was at odds with both of them, but I really do enjoy that. And there's like some good shit in there that's going on. And it's just like, you know, again, maybe doesn't help it tie up in the best way, but when you're just in the moment watching that scene, there's just a lot of good stuff going on. The performances in that are pretty good too, right? And of course, there are, if you look at the people that are in the scene, you know, they would be good anyways. But there's just a lot going on that makes me really like that scene. Now that's tough. You know what I mean? It's just like when you really think about it, it's just not, like I said, not just from his perspective, but even from the perspective of creating that scene as a filmmaker. You know, you have to be so careful about how you introduce people, what you have people say to not, you know, blow anyone's cover. I really like stuff like that.
Yeah, when the arguing really got dialed up, and they were just both talking about, they both were fixated on the videotape, right? And so of course, Sizemore and his, and then Reynolds and his. That's what it was like. Oh yeah, this is about to go sideways real fast. And so it doesn't matter, even if one was like, "What videotape? What are you talking about?" I'm talking about it wasn't going to get to that point where they're going to try to describe what was actually on the tape. It was just so much the tape itself, and so the contents were never going to come up. So yeah, I'm with you, Chris. That is good. Cole, awards wise, did you see anything?
No, nothing really. It's not a super Oscar-y movie, so here we are.
Yeah, it happened to be like that. All right, trivia. I know I sprinkled some in already with the NSA refusing to cooperate with production part of it. Did you guys find anything else? I found one in particular part that was interesting, but what did you guys see?
Tom Cruise was originally signed on to do the film.
Yep, that was
So,
mine. Yep.
okay, cool.
But I'd shut instead.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he would have been insane in this movie.
Nuts. Completely nuts. Chris, did you see anything trip-wise?
I did see the Tom Cruise thing when I went to the IMDb for it last week, and I had that in my back pocket, but you both beat me to it somehow. So yeah, that was one that I had.
Catch him
It'd be
slipping.
like that. Well, everybody, you can
What's the
find any of
Tom Cruise version of this like?
it
What do you
is
mean?
not like this.
Is it like
Not like this.
Minority Report? I mean, is it gonna fall into that kind of? I mean, he's
I feel like it might be closer to the firm.
Oh, yeah.
which also had Gene Hackman.
It sure did.
Yeah, I think
There are
it's
just like
probably
certain
something like
scenes
that.
that I'm
Which
more than like,
that movie rocks, dude.
the movie does rock.
more than about like the Tom Cruise intensity and like a couple of these scenes. I think some of them work. Like you said, you need Will Smith to kind of sell. And of course, Tom Cruise is a very smooth, charismatic guy on his own. But I think like in
Yeah.
something like this, I think he would be going at it to be such a high strung guy. Like I've noticed like there are a couple of scenes where he tries to maybe sell the high strung, super stressed out guy more than like the smooth operator who can maybe kind of work his way around things. I wonder if there are a couple things that maybe they probably still work, but it's like you said, it's very different. Like it doesn't look like this. Like I'm very interested thinking on some of these scenes on how he would have approached it.
Yeah, it's going to have
We're gonna
a
see it. I don't know about all
Minority
that.
Report, Mission Impossible kind of feel to it, because it's going to have all those aspects built into it. But it's earlier in his career though, so he's not quite Ethan Hunt. I know Mission Impossible was what, 96, 5, 6, somewhere in there. So I know he's kind of got that pedigree, but he isn't the Ethan Hunt that we know now, of course. There's going on 7 and 8. But yeah, so we can go find Enemy of the State. That's going to be on Hulu. So everybody go check that out. But Chris, we're back around to your pick. So what are we watching next?
Yeah, so we're gonna stay on Hulu. We've done this director a couple of times. I'm just gonna have to hope that we haven't already done this movie. I don't know why I feel like we have. But we're gonna stay on Hulu. We're gonna watch another Wes Anderson movie. We're gonna watch the first Wes Anderson movie, I think, unless I'm off. We're gonna do Bottle Rocket. We haven't already done that, have we?
No, we
No.
have not.
Okay, oh thank God. Okay. I think I may have watched it around the time I may have rewatched when we did Darjeeling. And so I keep again, if I watch a movie around the time that we do a pod in my brain, I'm like, oh yeah, we did that. It's like, no, I just watched that in my room. So I scroll through the episodes and everything, and I'm still like, I had no confidence. I'm like, man, I don't want to say this. I'm like, Chris, we did that a month
Yeah,
ago.
right. We did that 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
That
So this is
was your
our
last pick.
fourth Wes Anderson.
Let's freaking go.
Let's see. Fantastic
Yeah.
Mr. Fox for viewing.
French
Yeah,
Dispatch. I haven't
we
seen
didn't
this
do
one.
Grand Budapest, have we?
No,
No.
no.
No. Okay, see, I think this is four
Yeah.
then. Yep.
Yeah, French Dispatch, then Bottle Rocket.
I'm
Yeah, let's go.
excited for this. I love this
Let's
one.
go.
Same. Let's do it.
Well, I'm gonna pick a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Let's go.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah.
You should do it. I'm holding you to it now.
Like the way
Boogie
we're heading.
Nights, boys.
Oh, shit.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to y'all.
Yeah. But everybody has a marching order, so stay on Hulu. First, watch Enemy of the State, and then we're going to go to Bottle Rocket, something I actually hadn't seen, so I'm excited to see it. I always like when y'all pick movies I haven't seen before, because I get really excited because I know it's going to be a banger. So
You'll dig
yeah,
this one.
I'm
You have
ready.
some interesting questions. I think some of our Luke Wilson questions that we were asking against when we watched Blue Streak are gonna they're gonna come back up in some interesting ways here. We're gonna be like, God damn it, what happened to this guy? Why did it work?
Why is
Just
he
a
not? Common
funny joke.
narrative
Why?
when you're talking about Blue Streak and
Yeah.
Luke Wilson's career.
Yeah, the narrative
The
rewind.
age-old conversation.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're gonna see it, Keith. You're gonna finish the movie. You're gonna text us. You're like, we have to get involved. We have to
Yeah.
save him.
You're gonna
We
be
got to save
convinced for sure. Yeah.
him. Yeah.
And Tenenbaums too, man. Like he just has it. He has it.
Maybe he refuses to use it. He's saving us. He's like, if I use
Hey,
too
Gene
much of
Hackman's in that team. Gene
Oh, yeah.
Hackman's in fucking everything.
We'll figure it out next week. I already know it. I feel it. I feel it.
Perfect.
But for all of us here at the stream team, Cole Miller, Chris Lowry, Keith Evans, I'm sorry the goddamn wonton soup was
So glad he put him in the movie.